right, if you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Acts 3, starting in chapter 4 tonight. Who knows what happened in chapter 1? What's the main event in chapter 1? Jesus ascends to heaven, okay? Anything else in chapter 1? Select Matthias as the 13th apostle. Anything else? Jesus promises something pretty important. Holy Spirit, okay? Acts 2, what day is that? Day of Pentecost. How many days is that day from Passover? 50 days. 10 days before Pentecost, Jesus ascends and up. That's in chapter 1 of Acts. Chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes on the apostles. They all begin to speak with other languages and never studied before. Some said they're drunk. Peter says it's too early in the morning. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. That's just too early to be drunk. But this is what's spoken by the prophet Joel. And who else did he mention? Joel and who else? David. Now, when you mention David to the Jews, they listen because they were expecting the Messiah to take the throne of David, literally, to reign in the throne of David, run out the Roman soldiers and all that, and establish Judaism once and for all. But, of course, that wasn't what the Lord had in mind at all. My kingdom is not what? How's that go? Of this world. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, not a earthly kingdom. There are people today still looking for the Messiah to come. There are people today who say the Messiah did come. He's coming back to earth to reign 1,000 years and set up the earthly kingdom. Well, that's just not it. It's never been an earthly kingdom. If he wanted to set up an earthly kingdom, would he have done it? Yes or yes? Yeah, he would have done that. Could have done that. But it's never been that way. It's always been the spiritual kingdom. And that's what really threw the apostles off. They didn't quite get the spirituality of the kingdom. They thought David, throne, Roman soldiers and all that, which was just not the case. In chapter 3, Peter and John, two of the apostles, will heal a man. He'd been lame for how long? Since his birth, okay. How many years? 40. And when they heal the man, he doesn't just hobble off. What does he do? He leaps. He jumps up. And we talked about that a little bit last week. We said it's a long time to, and I did see somebody skip for me. Thank you for doing that. I thought old men couldn't skip, but I'll take that back now. But being able to leap up after being lame for your since birth, that is a miracle without a doubt. And it's not over because if you'll go to chapter 4 with me now. Now they spoke to the people, the priests and captains of the temple and Sadducees came unto them being the apostles, being greatly disturbed. And they taught the people preaching in Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. Why were these people, this particular group, disturbed, greatly disturbed? There's disturbed and there's greatly disturbed. Why were they greatly disturbed? What group was this? Sadducees. And we said that they were sad, you see, because they didn't what? Didn't believe in the resurrection. So to preach that Jesus rose in the grave, that would upset, because it threw the whole doctrine off. When you start with a false premise, then everything else becomes false too. So they were greatly upset about that. Laid their hands upon them, Peter and John, put them in custody. This is the New King James. Until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about how many? How many we start with? Well, probably 120. Then 3,000. Then 5,000. And that was just men. Usually more women and children than there are men. But so 5,000 men. By the way, how many were saved on the day of Pentecost? Now, it says about, doesn't it? Okay. Exactly how many were saved on the day of Pentecost? Okay, Jeanette says all that believed and were baptized. So all that believed were baptized were saved. About 3,000. May have been 3,015. I don't know. That'd be a preacher count, I guess. But all that gladly received the word were baptized, and that's who were saved that day. All that did not gladly receive the word were not baptized, and there could have been another 3,000. Wonder how many the second day. They're still preaching. Here's Peter and John preaching here. Wonder how many were saved the second day. Well, at least 5,000. How many the third day, the fourth day? We've restored, I think, New Testament worship pretty good. I think singing and praying and giving, the Lord's Supper and preaching, I think that's the New Testament worship. We have not restored New Testament mathematics. We add to our number here occasionally, don't we? Yes or yes? Yes. They added to the number when? Daily. Daily. You know how come they added daily and not occasionally? Because they were preaching and teaching the word daily. And whenever we get to the point that you and I are speaking to people, talking to people about Jesus and about obeying him, then we'll get to the point of having the mathematics that they had, adding daily. So if you want to add daily, then we've got to teach and preach daily. Does that make sense? Isn't that simple? That's just kind of simple to me. Okay. So many of those who had heard the word believe, look at verse 4. The word believe here is not just believe. Accept Jesus, your personal Savior, and you'll be saved. You ever heard that? Well, if you listen to the radio or TV or go out to a funeral from the preacher, he'll probably say that. In fact, we've had several lately. If you're here and not saved, you believe Jesus, don't you? Raise your hand and pray this prayer. And all that. I don't find that in the New Testament. I don't find that anywhere. But it says right here, heard the word believed and the number that meant they were numbered with. What? The word believe includes all faith. Faith enough to obey. You can believe and not obey, can't you? Yes or yes? Yeah. Who else believes and didn't obey? Very notable. The devil. James says the devil believes and trembles. I mean, does the devil know that Jesus is who he is? Yeah, yeah. Does he believe it? Yes. With all of his heart? If he has a heart. Yes. Does he obey? No. So you can believe and confess it and all you want to, but unless you act upon it, faith without works is dead. Okay, that's James. So you've got to do something. There's something to be involved. Salvation is grace of God. It's a free gift. It's ours, but you've got to accept the gift by obedience to his will. Verse 5, and it came to pass in the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, who's Caiaphas? If Annas is the high priest, who's Caiaphas? Another one. How many high priests do you have at one time? Just have one, but they had two. John and Alexander and as many of the family of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. The whole family came to hear these men. And when they had set them in the midst and asked, by what power or what name have you done this? Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I've had one man in particular said, would you baptize me? I said, well, you've been baptized. He said, but not in Jesus' name only. Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus. I haven't. You baptized me in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, why did I do that? Because what Jesus said in Matthew 28, didn't he say, go preach, teach, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Not just in Jesus. And Jesus' name means by the authority of Jesus. That's what that means. Peter said, you repent and be baptized because Jesus told me to tell you that. That's his authority. Not just in the name, because many will confess his name, won't they? Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have not done this, that, and the other. And he'll say to me, what? I never knew you. You work iniquity. Well, but they confessed his name. They believed his name. But there's more to it than that. So in his name means by the authority of. Trump sending out ambassadors to other countries who in the name of the United States, by the authority of the United States. That's all that means. Everybody got that? I mean, it's so simple, but yet people don't quite see that. And they were set them in the midst, verse 7, and asked, by what power or name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day are judged for a good deed done to this helpless man, by what means have you been made well? They're in a bind. If this is a good deed, was it a good deed? Yes or yes? Yes. Was the man made well? Yes or yes? Yes. So tell me then, by what means has this man been made well? That's that Horner dilemma. Any answer they give is going to be wrong, isn't it? Oh, you're working under Beelzebub. Beelzebub does good? Well, you're working with Jesus Christ. Oh, so you believe. So any answer they give is going to be wrong. Let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Why did he call him of Nazareth? Because there were other Christs, weren't there? Well, I mean, other Jesuses around. Have a neighbor that's named Jesus who worked on my house, on my roof. And I said, I've never believed that I have Jesus on my roof. But there he was. Well, but Jesus of Nazareth tells who he is. And what's Jesus' last name? What's his last name? Okay, Christ is who he is. Jesus is his name. He doesn't have a last name. You say, say again? Okay. Jesus' name is, his name is Jesus. Christ is who he is. What's Christ mean? Anointed, the Messiah. That's the one we're looking for. Okay. So Jesus of Nazareth, let him know who it is. Crucified, whom God raised from the dead by him and made this man stand before you whole. This is the stone Pharisees rejected, Sadducees rejected, which were rejected by you, builders, which were became the chief cornerstone. The very stone that you rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Is Jesus referred to a stone anywhere else? Lots of places in the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they what? They were astonished or marveled. What are they astonished about? What are they marveling about? Well, could have been speaking in foreign tongues. Okay. They realized they had been with Jesus. Verse 13 is a good verse. When you talk to people and leave them, do they realize they had been with Jesus when you leave? Bless you. When you talk to people, do they realize that they had been with Jesus when you leave? Shouldn't they? Yes or yes? Absolutely. The character, the attitude, the disposition, the words, all should indicate I've been with Jesus. And when these men spoke, Peter and John, I know they had the Holy Spirit, I realize that, made the people realize that they had been with Jesus. I think that's my goal. I think when I get up every morning, that's my goal. That when people talk with me and I talk with people, they see that I've been with Jesus. Shouldn't they? Shouldn't they? Hello? Do you head this way? Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're about, to let people know about Jesus. And one way we do that with what we say and what we think and what we do. And seeing these men who had been healed standing with them, they could do what? Are y'all following with me? Chapter 4. They could say nothing. We can't debate this. We can't say the man was faking it for 40 years. He wasn't. We can't say it's not a notable miracle, because it was. They could say nothing. And even though that didn't convince them, though, it's interesting, with all that proof, that they would say, well, listen, there must be something to this Jesus of Nazareth. There must be something to it. No, I've got my prejudice already set in my mind. I'm not going to change. And many of them did not. Some did, by the way, but many did not. Verse 15, and when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, that's a what? Notable miracle has been done. And them and all have dwelt in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. It's what they say it is. We can't deny it. Then why not be a part of it? I hope I wouldn't be so hard-headed that once the evidence has been shown to me and once I felt like I can't deny it, that I would obey it and fall to it. Yes, Mike? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, when Peter and John, other apostles, performed a miracle, there was no question. Bang, it was done. And it wasn't a gradual thing. It wasn't get up and limp around. This guy got up and leaped in the air. Okay, good point. All right, let's, verse 17. But so that it spread no further among the people, this truth, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. It's a notable miracle. We can't deny it in any way. But to keep it from spreading, what? This notable miracle that Jesus performed through them. Let's tell them, we're going to get you if you say it anymore. Does that show you prejudice? I mean, you know, when you got your mind made up, it'd be beyond me. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Now, this isn't just a couple of guys saying, y'all quit talking about him. This is the Sanhedrin. This is the council. These are people who can put you in jail and lock up, throw the keys away. These are the people who really sought the death of Jesus. And they said, don't preach in his name anymore. Don't even talk about him anymore. But look what Peter says. I love it. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whatever is right in your sight of God, to listen to you more than God, you be the judge of that. We listen to God or listen to you. I mean, that's the two choices. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Do you appreciate their boldness? Hello? We're going to preach Jesus. But you might suffer for that. Well, we're going to preach Jesus. You might be put in prison. Going to preach Jesus. We might put you and whip you or scourge you. We're going to preach Jesus. And if you don't think that's right, that's just up to you and God. But I know what we're going to do. We're going to preach Jesus. And so when they had further threatened them, I'm telling you the truth now. I'm going to get you if you don't. Let them go, finding no way to punish them, because the people, since they were all glorifying God for what had been done. So they had a mob around them glorifying God. Why? Because they knew the man had been lame 40 years. They knew the mama. They knew the family. And knew it was a notable miracle. And they obeyed that. For the man was 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed. A notable miracle. What would it take for some people to believe? Even a notable miracle. Ron says a notable miracle. But even a notable miracle, I still don't believe it. Resurrection from the dead, and I saw him and felt that, don't believe it. It's amazing how the devil can get a hold of us, folks, and we won't turn loose. You can have forgiveness. You can have grace of God. You can have redemption. You can have salvation. All you got to do is believe and obey. Trust and obey. You interpret it different. How do you interpret it? How do you interpret it? Read what it says, do what it says, and be what they were. Now the multitude of those, this is verse, and they command them not to speak in his name. Yes, verse 19. But Peter and John said, we've got to do this, we're going to speak. Verse 23. They let them go and went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. Why did they do that? Why did the apostles, Peter and John, go to their other apostles and tell them everything that happened? That just gossip and gossip? Well, it could have been a warning. Or could be glorifying God because we were counted worthy to suffer for him. Peter and John were ready to suffer for Jesus. And they thought the suffering or felt the suffering was worthy, that they were worthy to suffer. Ready to suffer, I guess the word. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord, said, Lord, you are God, and who hath made heavens and earth and sea and all that dwell in them. By the mouth of your servant David you have said, why did the nation rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the Christ. For truly against you, holy servant Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. So what are they proclaiming in verse 25 and 26? The prophecy was that the nations would rage and the people would plot against things, and kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's prophecy. That's Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So they were proclaimed. And didn't they try to do that? I don't know how many of you watch, I hadn't seen it for a while, but Chosen on TV. Anybody here watch Chosen? Okay, a few of us. I recommend it to you. It's not a Bible class. It's a TV show. But what they do, they'll take the Bible and parts of it like this story, and then they'll fill in the blanks. So it's not Bible. It's not Holy Spirit driven. It is man-made. But it's interesting to watch and to hear and think, what did they do? What did they say? How did they react? And see the people react to these stories. So here we have truth being proclaimed, and yet they had rather hold on to their false ideas and false hopes than to turn to truth. And that's true today. But when the prophet, it's interesting how, I was going to say this, in Chosen, that the people that they have, the small group, the 12, and then a couple of women, maybe four women, how they quote scripture to each other. And they'll start the scripture and the other one will kind of finish it. How'd they learn scripture in the Old Testament in the time of Christ? Well, going to synagogue and hearing it read and memorizing what they heard and then repeating it and then repeating it and then repeating it. Isn't it wonderful that we can have the word, have it in our lap, have it on our phone, in the car when we're traveling back from Pigeon Forge the other day? You know, let's listen to the sermon here. We heard Carl and his lesson and heard Randy, and we can hear the Bible being read to us. I mean, just push a button and there it is. Everybody doesn't have that luxury. Everybody doesn't have that ability, and we ought to thank God that we can and do that kind of thing. Okay. Let's go on and read them. Now the Lord looked on their threats and granted to you your servant that all behold they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed this, the place where they were assembled, what happened to it? Shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They're already speaking the word of God with boldness. They understood that they'd been with God. But is God watching in? Is Jesus watching what's going on? Does Jesus know that they, Peter and John, are before the Sanhedrin and before the Sadducees? Does he know that? Does he know about you? Know what kind of day you had? Know about the pains and aches and troubles? And does he know that? Does he care? I love that song, Does Jesus Care? When I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, my sad heart aches and it breaks. Is it all to him to see? And what's the verse say? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by grief. I love that song because it's true that me, here I am in Montgomery, Alabama, just a no titled man, just a man. He knows about me. He knows how many hairs I have on my head. Now, I know that doesn't count. That's not a big miracle. You could probably count them. But he does. I was looking out my window today because I did taxes today, and out the window there was a bird flying in the little bush beside the window. And I thought, you know, Jesus knew when that bird came down and ate that worm that he ate. And he's busy. If he's busy about a bird, he's busy about us. He cares about sparrows, he cares about us as well. Well, aren't we blessed? Don't you just want to shout amen sometime? I'll do. Amen! We're just so blessed. Because this isn't the best part of life, folks. It's going to be better, he says. There's a better land, better place. No sorrow, no sickness, no death. None of these announcements. No more. And yet, all he has to do, be faithful here. Live for me on this earth. And I'll give you forever. Well, let's look at verse 32. Multitude of these believe were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say of anything possessed was his own, but they had all things, what's the word? Common. The early church was a family. We call it today the forever family. And if they had stuff, they divided it, gave it to others who didn't have. I realize we're living a different time nowadays, but still, there was no needs. And if you were a Jew and you'd gone to worship God under Passover and you stayed over to Pentecost and you were converted, you had to go back home. You couldn't go back home. Your livelihood, everything about the past life was over. Not like it is today. You can go back home today. But they gave up everything. And so they sold their possessions, gave to everyone who had need, and had land. They'd sell that, give it to have need. Let me just say this, and you've heard this, but it's true, how benevolent this congregation is. I mean, their stuff goes on, folks, that I'm an elder, and I'm not surprised, but I'm amazed at people that were willing to give. I don't want anybody to know about this. I'm not going to put my name up anywhere. Just see if they need this, see if they need that. And that goes on all the time. And that comes from a pure heart where it comes from. Not a whole lot of money, not a whole lot of, you know, just I want this to be done. That's the early church. Again, they were a family. And as long as we're a family university, we'll continue to grow. We'll seek needs. We'll take care of those. But whenever we just come a bunch of worshipers coming together on a certain time, you know, sing a song or two and then leave, we'll never be what they were in the first century. But I really believe that we're close to it. I really do. Let's close with a prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your kingdom. Help us to have a giving heart. Help us to have a life, Father, when people see us, they see you living in us. Bless us, we pray, through the night, in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, we'll start back with chapter 5 next week. Interesting chapter. Talks about a man falling down dead up my alley.